I guess it's my turn now. Thank you so much for having me here today. This is a lovely facility. This is really neat. My home church is Harmony Springs Christian Church right now, and I've been working there for 3 years, and they are currently building a new facility. We own 9 acres of cornfield and soybean field, and we are getting ready to, we're looking at plans and how to do the outside stuff. We have the building put together. It's a 6,000-foot facility. We hope to break ground in the spring. Please cross your fingers, because I would have told you the same thing a year ago today. We were hoping to break ground this past spring. Anyone who's built anything knows more than the folks who are in charge of building our building, because we have never built anything before and didn't know this permission, that permission, all the planning, all the organizing takes as long as it does. We went to the Army Corps of Engineers just recently, and that is a 4 to 6 month backlog. So with that, we hope to have permission soon and get to break ground. Let's move on to today's reading. I have some clips. I'm going to hold things. We'll see if we can make this work. Today's reading is from Isaiah 58. The whole chapter is really like a question and answer. This part, the reading today, is actually the answer. Earlier in the chapter, we see that God has called Isaiah the prophet to address a problem of false religious observance. The problem is that the ancient people are only going through the motions of fasting and observing the Sabbath. They are not doing so from a true heart of worship to God. People who love God will worship God for the sake of honoring God, not attempting to manipulate God. Today we will talk about prayer. Keep these verses in mind about the manner in which we approach God, with honesty, humility, and devotion. God then promises blessings to the true worshiper. Isaiah 58, 9 through 14. If you remove the yoke from among you, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of evil, if you offer your food to the hungry and satisfy the needs of the afflicted, then your light shall rise in the darkness and your gloom be like the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your needs in parched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters never fail. Your ancient ruins shall be rebuilt. You shall raise up on the foundations of many generations. You shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to live in. If you refrain from trampling of the Sabbath, from pursuing your own interests on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the holy day of the Lord honorable, if you honor it, not going your own ways, serving your own interests, or pursuing your own affairs, then you shall take delight in the Lord. And I will make you ride upon the heights of the earth. I will feed you with the heritage of your ancestor Jacob, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The word of God for the people of God. Good morning, church. I am Jennifer Burlyoung. As you know, we have been friends for a while. I live in the city of Green near the Akron-Canton Airport with my husband of 20 years, my 2 teen boys. And I graduated United Theological Seminary in Dayton in December of 2017. I am a member of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ, and my service of ordination is next Sunday at 2:30 if any of you would like to travel the hour and a half to come visit. If you'd like to, let me know. Darren has my address. That afternoon is the culmination of years of prayer and work and a strong desire to be used where God will have me, and a true enormous amount of support from my family. I am the pastor of community development for Harmony Springs Christian Church. I develop the programs of the church in connection with the community, using both the needs of the church and the community, and the gifts and desires on each side. My history with Darren and Wendy goes back a little bit more than I want to admit. Over 30 years ago, we all started college at the same university, wide-eyed and ready to take on the music world. While Wendy and Darren obviously stayed in touch with each other after graduation, I veered off in a different direction for a little while. It was an interesting blessing when Facebook brought us back together. How many of you have had that great experience with Facebook and getting in touch with other friends? It's been really amazing for me. I was then surprised to know that he was finishing up seminary at the same seminary that I was hoping to attend within a couple years. A small reunion was held over the phone long distance, me in Akron and Darren and his family in Dayton at the time. We caught up on the years that had passed, marriages, babies, the armed forces, and called a ministry that I think took both of us surprise at the time that we both heard it. And I am really grateful to Darren for having me here today. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I read a meme recently. Do you know what a meme is? So it's kind of like a cartoon, right? It's the new version of that. And I read a meme that had a picture of a cute little fuzzy cat praying, holding his hands as if he was praying. And it said on it, "And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord the dog to take." Another one said, "When I was young, I asked God for a bicycle. When I found out prayer didn't really work that way, I stole one and asked for forgiveness." And the last one I'll share for today was, "What if the sinking of the Titanic was the answered prayers of all the lobsters in the ship's kitchen?" It is obvious that a lot of people have thoughts and a lot of misconceptions about prayer. Does God hear us when we pray? Why should we pray? What is prayer? And why would God not answer a prayer? Let's start off with the basics. What is prayer? Merriam-Webster, yes, I went a little old school for a moment. Merriam-Webster lists the definition as a solemn request for help or expression of thanks addressed to God or an object of worship. It sounds right, but is that all there is? Dictionary.com, moving up into the 21st century, maybe 20th at that point, they listed prayer as a spiritual communion with God or an object of worship. I think now we're getting a little closer. Prayer in the Hebrew Bible, so what's called the ancient people, the first number of books through the Bible, it's shown to be an evolving means of interacting with God, often through spontaneous and unorganized forms of petitioning. Why should we pray? At its basest level, prayer is communication with God. We speak out loud or in our heads, and we believe that God hears us. We share needs for ourselves and needs for others. We pray for family with cancer, for friends going through a hard time. We pray for situations to be resolved. We say a lot of, "Dear God, please," something, something, in those prayers. We share emotions about events in our lives. We share happiness, and we share joy. And sometimes we exclaim a lot of praise God in our prayers as we exclaim over goodness in our life or rejoice over other people's blessings. Sometimes there are angry words or even shouting. We're mad at God when things aren't fair. When people we love, really, really good people, are battling treatments or an unexpected loss. Loss of a job, a divorce, even loss of other people through death. There are devastating times when we can do nothing other than cry our prayers. Sometimes we just stare at the wall. Our prayers vacillate between those two, so many other emotions. Does God hear us when we pray? As a child, we believe our prayers go straight to heaven, but we also think our parents hang the moon. God is always listening, and God will answer, is what we think. I read once that prayer elevates the soul. Our soul is enriched by our prayers. As we pray for others, we show we care for them. That strengthens our emotional bond with them. If we pray for a stranger, for just a moment in our world, they are the focus. We want the best for them, and we ask God's favor for them. For a moment, their struggle becomes so strongly felt that we want to ask others to help ease their pain. Though humans live separate from each other, possibly coming into contact for only a moment, most of you I will know for about an hour today, and we will move on to our spaces, but at the same time, we are still one on the same earth, praying to the same God, living under the same creator. Though we are finite beings, bound by time and space, God is not. God gives us a view, a window, if you will, into someone else's need and grants us the privilege and the ability to petition the magnificent creator of all on their behalf. I believe that God is sitting in heaven waiting to hear from us. God created us. God loves us. God cherishes our prayers. I want to think this, and I really need to think this. I have a faith that tells me God exists. God is a being I cannot touch and science cannot prove, yet I know that God truly exists, and God is waiting to hear from me. You know, though, Christianity involves a bit of imagination. It's not really a bad word. It's not a negative thing. It doesn't make God an imaginary friend to say so. So hear me out. We use imagination to represent something. We represent God, something we don't see as imaginary. But imagination is vital to our experiences with God. Using our minds, we vision sometimes that we're sitting on God's lap when we're praying. Or we imagine we're on a beach with God. God is in the waves when we're sad or upset or stressed. Imagination is a skill that has been practiced since the ancient times with Christians. They weren't Christians back then, but they were believers for sure. Anthropologist Tanya Lerman, in a TED Talk entitled When God Talks Back, which is named after a book of the same name. You should look it up. It was pretty cool. At least look up the TED Talk if you have 10 or 15 minutes. When God Talks Back, she discusses this. When we talk to God or we pray, we want to hear God talk back. We don't know how to make that happen. When we spend time with God and we invite God into our space, we should listen really, really carefully. We might hear God show up as a voice in our head that's already there. God's voice often sounds a lot like our own. God's sounds like the thought that stands out more strongly than other thoughts. I believe that I have heard God's voice. Sometimes it's in my head as a thought that doesn't go away, or a very insistent voice. I even hear God when I'm scrolling Facebook. Numerous times I've been thinking of a friend saying, I haven't seen them around very much lately. Maybe I should ask them how they're doing. I might just ask how they're doing, how's their family, what's been going on. Or I might ask them about a concern that they had recently that they had shared with me or on Facebook. And so much more often than not, can I tell you, that they will say, I'm in a spot right now and God just knew I needed a friend. They're grateful for that connection, and I'm then grateful that I reached out. Sometimes, though, I also hear God's voice as someone else's. My call to ministry is a strong example. I was at a retreat in 2008, and I stopped a particular spiritual advisor who was an ordained pastor at the retreat to help with private or personal issues that someone might want to discuss, and I wanted to talk about a topic that felt really big, but it really wasn't. I think actually that was a fake problem God gave me to make me talk to them. The topic was exhausted very quickly, and the minister asked me to share my history. And after a while, she said, have you ever thought about the ministry? God could use people like you with your faith and your experiences. The truth was that in 40 years of my life at that point, I had danced on the edge of potential ministry, pretty much the whole time. Days later, when I told my husband about the conversation and my probable then intention to go to seminary and become an ordained minister, he said, why did you take her seriously? Are you sure she wasn't joking? I said that I just knew there was something true to it. It had been 5 days already since I had heard those words come by the pastor, and the thought hadn't left my mind for much more than a minute. Both the intensity of the words as I heard them and the fact that it kept prodding at my spirit were my signs that they were words from God. So while the ministry example I share is possibly an extreme one, maybe yours is the first kind, a nudge to call someone you haven't spoken to, an idea out of nowhere to send someone a card, or a desire to pay for someone's lunch at a restaurant, you never know how much of a blessing that might be when it's really needed. Our next question is, if God is always speaking, why don't we always hear? Well, it's because our thoughts are clouded by other things, because we haven't practiced enough actually hearing God and listening for God. The same anthropologist ran through an experiment at a church she was attending. She asked a particular group of people to watch educational videos for 30 minutes a day, 6 days a week for 6 weeks. She also asked a second group to pray during the same amount of time, to really sit with God and experience God. The results were astounding. The group that watched what were essentially lectures said that they felt smarter. But the group that experienced prayer, by the end of the 6 weeks, they said they had sharper mental images during their prayers, a greater sense of God's presence, more sense of God as a person, and even experienced what she called unusual spiritual experiences, such as voices and visions. It shows that you can teach yourself to hear God's voice with some practice. Now that we've heard what prayer is, what God hears, that God hears us when we pray, and how to hear from God, we get to the question that is often the most difficult. Why didn't God answer my prayer? For an answer to this, I think we should look to our good friend Job. Job was the most righteous man alive in terms of good moral behavior, but God allowed him to suffer. Job's friends were convinced it was due to Job's sin. It must have been something Job did wrong, and that's because they believed that God's actions are in direct proportion to our own actions. Good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people, right? We all know that's not true. Famous Christian singer Rich Mullins stated in a 1993 interview, "I think it's possibly easier for people who plant to pray, because when you plant, you realize you're not going to harvest until the right season. Sometimes people view prayer as a slot machine. If you put in the right amount of money, cry the right amount of tears, believe with the right intensity, and God will automatically turn the world around to suit you." God does not operate that way. When we do good deeds, it's because God has commanded us to do them, not because God promises to do good to us in return. Think of the good things in your life, family, friends, job, food, and water. Which of these could you possess without God? None of them. James 1:17 states that all good things come from God. God loves you more than you can love yourself, because God knows you more than you could ever know yourself. God knows exactly what you need, and God gives you according to what you need. Let me conclude with the blessing of unanswered prayers written by a Confederate soldier. "I asked for strength that I might achieve. I was made weak that I might learn to humbly obey. I asked for health that I might do greater things. I was given infirmity that I might do better things. I asked for riches that I might be happy, and I was given poverty that I might be wise. I asked for power that I might have the praise of men. I was given weakness that I might feel the need for God. I asked for all things that I might enjoy life, and I was given life that I might enjoy all things. I got nothing that I asked for and everything I hoped for. Almost despite myself, my unspoken prayers were answered. I am among all persons most richly blessed." Amen.